What I want to talk about a little bit is email. So the email course, there are four lessons up in the email course, and I am particularly stoked on the email course because it ties together all of these different parts that we've looked at. So I'm going to do just a brief overview of the email just so you know what to expect from it and sort of demystify it a little bit in case you're not able to, well, I know, not get to it right away, but I just want to get the juices flowing on it. Okay, so there's four lessons. The first one is the recalibrate for success, and this has to do with your attitude, your point of view, and switching from the, like whenever I think about email, it's just kind of overwhelming and this thing that just has to be dealt with to be avoided, just all that negative blah blah stuff. And the importance of turning that around and coming into a place of being empowered with it and seeing yourself approaching your email inbox from a place of I'm in control and I know how to manage what's going on here. So that's part of that first one. All right, it is the lean, mean email machine. Here are the parts that I want to call attention to. You've got this incoming over on the left under the lean, mean email machine. There's this big bin, there's this big basket, and all these emails that come in from all of the different places, they go in there. It's just there's no discernment as to what's important, what's not important. That first little part where there's these like drop down to the 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are your email rules and filters, the stuff that you already know is coming in. Those can get pulled out of your inbox automatically through rules and filters. Then what's left actually goes through the zapping process. And so that's that little center part, your zapping station. The zapping station is something that you come to. It is one of your jobs. You are CEO of your business and your life, which means that you need to approach this with the right mindset because it takes decisions to assess what has priority and relevance to your life. And decisions take energy. So just kind of stepping in there without that sharp CEO mindset means that you're going to muddle around. And this is how email inboxes get totally out of control, is that we muddle around in them. So whenever you step up to that zapping station, you are ready to make decisions and ready to act. And so then the little hoses that come out, so what happens with the emails once they get zapped? They either go to your, if it's going to be something that takes 2 minutes or less, then you're just going to do it right then and there, right? So what this means for your schedule is that you are setting time aside to zap your email because you're actually going to be taking a little bit of time to do the things that can be done quickly so that you can then archive or delete the email. For the ones that don't involve quick actions, they either go down to the little filing cabinet with wings. That's your reference system, right? So that's, for example, Evernote. It might be saving an attachment into your filing system. It could be a number of things, but it's something that you're wanting access to at a later date. So you're filing it in your reference system. Or you're sending it to the bin, right? You're just trashing it, archiving it, you're done with it. You don't need it anymore, so you just get it out. Or it goes to your action system. If it's something that's going to take more than 2 minutes, then you get it out of your inbox and you send it to your action system. So that is an overview of the email process. And there is access to that lovely drawing that I did myself You will not find that anywhere else. I can assure you that. So that is the overall system. All right. Lesson two, talking about the zapping. So I started talking about that, where sharp CEO mindset. Okay. Really important. Like, if nothing else, remembering that when you step into your email inbox, you need to be prepared to make decisions. And if you're not prepared to make decisions, stay out. If you are stressed, you don't make good decisions. If you're scattered or tired, you don't make good decisions. Stay out of your inbox. Every time you read an email, you're wasting time and you're wasting energy if you're not dealing with it then and there. Email is actually a bit of a tough job, so give it the energy that it deserves, and it's going to keep moving as it's supposed to be moving. So next part in that zealous zapping lesson is pointing out that there are actually three steps in your work when it comes to email. So here's your mantra to tattoo on your forehead. No more doing email. We don't do email. Okay, what does that mean? If you can tell me precisely what that means, then maybe you can do it. But most people just mean that they open up their inbox and they start doing stuff in email. Okay, here's what actually happens in email. There are three things when it comes to email. There's one, you zap your email. Okay, that means assessing each message for priority and relevance, figuring out what needs to happen with it, and either doing it or getting it to your system. The second thing that gets pulled into this, quote, doing email that actually isn't doing email, is your work, okay? So managing your work. What comes in through your email are requests of you. There are things to be dealt with. They're information from clients, so it has to do with client work. It has to do with communications with your assistant. There's any number of things. The email itself is not the work. The information in the email triggers work, which needs to get managed like the rest of your work, right? So that's what we're doing with the wrap session every Monday morning. That's what we do with the wrap session. That is managing your work. You're looking at everything that's on your plate. You're looking at all of your commitments, and you're saying, okay, what makes sense given my schedule? The information that comes through your emails is just that. It's just work to be managed, okay? And then the third part is actually doing your work, right? Because sometimes, you know, when stuff comes through email, you actually have to respond to that email. Like, that's just part of it. So the doing your work is the part where, you know, that's why we organize by mind state and by priority, right? So as you're going through your week, you're referring to your calendar, you're referring to your to-do manager, and you're grouping like activities together, you're grouping like mind state activities together, and you're doing them in those groups to maximize your brain's functioning. Does that make sense? So no more just doing email, right? One of the reasons we get so, like, oh my God, that's, I have so much fun doing these email ones because they're so big. I mean, there's just so much craziness that we throw into email. When you get in there and you break it down, you say, I'm either zapping my email, managing my work, or doing my work. Like, those are three really different functions. And when we, quote, do email, we get in there and we try to do that all at the same time. And that's why our mind fritzes out. That's why we have such a hard time wrapping our head around dealing with stuff in the inbox, because we're trying to do all of these different mind states and all these decision-making processes with the actual work part all at the same time. It's a big jumble. So pull it all apart. So that's in the zapping. What are the three steps of your workflow? And a reminder of what the zapping process is in that second lesson called Zealous Zapping. Then we have the third lesson is the email and your action system. So again, remembering that the email itself is not your work. Your work is delivered through email. Those are two different things. You manage your work, you zap your emails. So the emails that take 2 minutes or less, you just do them right then and there, and then they're just gone, right? You don't want to be throwing a whole bunch of like 2 minute things into your to-do manager. So when we talk about your emails and the ones that are going to take more than 2 minutes, what do you do with those? And there, I wish that there was a one answer for everybody here, and there isn't. So what I aim to do in that lesson was point out the potential pitfalls and where things go awry, to call attention to those. So as you are figuring out what your best method is, you know what to watch for. You know where the landmines are. Basically, you've got two options. You can either transfer that email to your to-do manager, right? And that is preferred because you can change the name of the email to an actual actionable title. You can apply tags to it, which then more quickly incorporates it into the rest of your system so that when you go to manage your work, it's in there just like any other task that needs to get done. So that is ideal. If the majority of your work is self-driven, like mine is, this system works great. This is completely an adequate way to go. It can be a little bit tougher if the majority of your work comes through email. Except that that's not an excuse, because if you'll remember way back at the beginning of the course, when we were looking at our to-do manager, one of the questions I asked you on that chart in that spreadsheet was, is your work really email driven? Because if so, you need to choose a to-do manager that links to your email. Not just forwards your emails, but actually links to it. Because then you can still change the name of the subject and, you know, still turn it into a task and not just leave it in your inbox. So in that email and your action system, which is the third lesson, I talk a bit about where the breakdown usually happens when we try to manage our work in the email inbox. Okay, so I put in a bunch of reasons of why I don't think that's a good idea, just so that you can be aware of that. Because you can figure out a way. A lot of people do manage their work through their email inbox. So if that works, that's fine. If you're doing it but it doesn't work, then there are some ideas in there of why that typically doesn't work and how you can, well, then you get to figure out how to get around those pitfalls. In that lesson is also a little bit about scheduling. Right, because this definitely integrates with your schedule, with your calendar. So one point is, how much time do you need to zap your email on a daily basis? That's how your email inbox stays small, because you're giving it the time to get in there and zap. You don't want to spend a lot of time zapping, because that's a very thought-intensive process. It takes a lot of brain juice. And you want to be saving your brain juice for your other important, creative, and high-focus work. So ideally, short sprints of zapping are best, right? So maybe you're doing, a 20-minute sprint in the morning and a 20-minute sprint at the end of the day. Maybe you do it one time a day. But I strongly recommend turning that into part of your routine, right? Just it becomes a part of the routine. You do your sprint, and then you just close the email program. You just get out, and you just get away from the temptation of wandering around, browsing, and, you know, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? And, you know, it's a waste of time. Okay, so also involved in the context of email for scheduling, two main things. One have to do with the time containers that have to do with your work, the high focus type of stuff, that hopefully it's just your emails have been transferred to do to your to-do manager. They have their tags, and that just becomes a part of your workflow, just like we've been talking about in the wrap session. And then the other one that we tend to not schedule that is definitely helpful is dealing with those just kind of small emails that maybe take like 5-10 minutes. They weren't small enough to just do right then and there in the zapping, but they don't really fit into like a high focus, high priority type of time container. So depending on what is coming in for you, you know if you need that kind of thing or not. So my main point here is acknowledging and accepting what kind of stuff is coming into you and allowing time for that if it is in fact part of your flow. It does take time to respond to this stuff. So you can either get that in your schedule and allow for it or not. It's kind of what it comes down to. Okay, and then the fourth lesson, minimize and streamline, basically a bunch of different tips. The four categories are minimizing the amount of email arriving in your inbox, right? So if zapping takes time and mental energy, then we want to have to zap as few emails as possible. So there are some thoughts there on minimizing the amount of email coming in. Avoiding spam, two. Three, some tips on preventing email from distracting you from your current purpose. And four, setting up the rules and filters for handling the predictable emails. So on the little chart, you know, on my diagram, where I had that four, like, okay, here's where your filtering happens. The talk about filters and rules and what those are, and some resources for learning how to set those up are in the minimize and streamline lesson. Any questions on that brief email overview? Oh, I just saw your message. Shakti, Lisa, love the drawing. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
So we set up filters. We've all set up our filters, and the emails are going in to the separate folders. Can you recommend a good system for checking those folders? Because I find that a lot of emails get lost in that. Because I don't check every single folder every time, and there are many that have just them being bold, showing that there's a new email, doesn't seem to be enough for me, because there's frequently lots of new emails that I deem not to be that important. Should I just delete everything and then start from scratch, or what's a good? But if you have a good system to recommend there, that would be helpful.
Cool, Leo. So the two types of rules and filters that I talk about in the Minimize and Streamline lesson to basically get started are ones that tie closely to time containers, actually. So one being the social media alerts, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, whatever your favorite, Pinterest, whatever your favorite social media ones are. So all of those notifications can go into one folder. The second one is newsletters. That's another good one to just like gather all those up and have them go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Which then means that either part of routine or by scheduling, you tie back to those. So, I mean, social media for most people is kind of easier to remember to go do. So you go to your social, when you decide intentionally, right? And I'm going to use the word intentionally, and I just want to call attention to that as one of the core concepts that I'm really wanting you to take from this Walk Tall course, intention. So I've decided that I'm going to catch up on social media stuff for half an hour. That is my intention, right? So one of the places I go is that folder that has all of my notifications. And I can sort I can sort everything in there either by date, or I can sort by place. So I can say, show me all my Facebook, show me all my Twitter, whatever. So it's an intentional go-to for that time container. Same thing with the newsletters. We talked a bit about having some kind of app, either Evernote or Pocket or something like that, that allows you to read stuff kind of all in one place. It's sort of like your temporary reading list. And having a time either a couple times a week or one time a week or on the weekend or something like that, you know, like have fun with it, you know, like plan on going to a cafe and with a tea and catching up on your temporary reading. You know, these aren't books, they're the newsletters and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It, again, intentionally going to that and saying, okay, I'm going to spend 1 hour looking through that. Or if that's part of your sort of, could be part of your wind down process at the end of the day and say like 10 to 15 minutes, this is what I do. I go and I check these out. The ways that those happen are one, scheduling, two, routine, right? So maybe it's mm-hmm. while you're sitting at lunch that you're flipping through your newsletters and just catching up on, you know, what have people been sending to you, what's going on, what actually need, what is something that's actually a good resource that you'd want to follow up on. Left to its own devices, it's probably not going to happen. And left to its own devices, if it doesn't happen, you know, is it going to be the end of the world? No, you know. So the other good thing about the having the folders for the social media notifications and the newsletters, one, they take out a huge bulk out of your inbox. And the second thing is mm-hmm. you really could on a monthly basis go through and delete every single thing in there and it wouldn't matter in the scheme of life. It just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So that was not a one sentence specific clear. Did that give you any ideas of
yeah. how? Yeah, I think I have too many filters set up. I think that's part of the problem.
Okay, good.
My intention was to reduce the amount in my inbox, which I have done, but then my things are slipping through because I've set up filters from people I probably should just keep in the regular inbox. And with these new lessons, I'll be able to deal with that more elegantly.
I think I need to do the same thing, simplify. I have too many, then I don't look at them. I agree, so.
Yeah. Right. So if it does require decision making, then you kind of just want to have one place to go for that, and that's your inbox. That's the cool thing about starting out filters with only newsletters and only social media notifications. Like mm-hmm. you already know they just don't need decisions. And with that in mind, there may be one, maybe two newsletters that you do want to take action on, i.e. read, when it comes in, you know, because it's that timely for you, it's that important, or, you know, there's something about it that really is like, okay, I actually really don't want that to get pushed back until Friday or something like that. So thinking in terms, beginning by thinking in terms of the action that you are going to take when you go to that folder. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that point for both you and Lisa of if you have too many filters, like knowing what you're going to do when you go do there. When I go to that folder for social media notifications, I am doing social media. When I go to that folder for newsletters, I am reading. When I go to my inbox, I'm planning on making decisions and I'm planning on assessing the importance and the relevance of these emails to my life. Mm-hmm. So maybe start with those two and then see if there's another one to add in that is automatic, that doesn't require making decisions, and then, you know, then create another filter if that makes sense.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask one more email question?
Please.
Or do you want to take a break and I can ask? Okay.
No, go for it.
So I feel like most of the time it's important for me to let, even though I'm not going to take action right away, it's important for me to let people know I got the email and I'll be getting to it, but not right away. But I haven't figured out a good way to do that. just shoot back at, you know, just some basic verbiage that sounds like, yes, it's important to me. I value you as a client, or you, you know, you, your input, but I'm not, it's not going to be a high priority today or whatever, you know.
Right, right. My guess is you probably have some of those already in your send folder of mm-hmm. ones that you've done. Like, I would be totally stoked to get, like, if we were working together, get an email saying, hey, Sean, thanks for your suggestions on the blah, blah, blah. I'll be working on that, and we'll incorporate those into the whatever, you know, this week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, I'll be getting back to you this week about that, but I just want to let you know that I got your email.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you said, like, I think that's exactly what you said, and just conversationally is totally legit. Does anybody else have any suggestions or recommendations on that?
I've been doing that too, because I know that there are certain things that require, you know, the more focused mindset time, right? But you can't do it because you're out in the field or whatever. So, you know, I think maybe saying I'll get back to you by whatever date with my recommendations or feedback, and then maybe we put it in the to-do manager, right, as an extra step. So you have a date that you need to be reminded that you, if you didn't do it yet, or schedule the time to do it. So. But I agree, that acknowledgement that you got is important, because if you wait 3 days to tell them, then they don't know what happened. So
yeah,
I've done it. So I'm trying to do the same thing as you with acknowledging, at least.
Yeah,
and then just being careful that you're not painting yourself in a corner. You know, be careful about saying something super specific like, I'll be responding to you by Thursday or by tomorrow night or something like that. Like, just acknowledging and saying this week is fine.
Yeah.
You know, and then if something comes up tomorrow and you don't actually respond tomorrow, then you're like, shit, I said I'd get it to him by the end of the day on Tuesday, even though it didn't really matter if it was done until Thursday. You know, like, just don't paint yourself in a corner.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do that all the time.
Yeah, I was going to second that also. Like, always, you know, over whatever, under promise, over deliver. So I'm a big fan of saying things like, thanks, I got it, and I'll get back to you soon or shortly. Yes. You know, so unless I try really hard not to say a specific time or date unless I know I can commit to that. And very often I like to be a little looser, frankly, depending on how critical the thing is, you know.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Great questions. Yeah. Any other questions on email?
Hey, Sean, I do have another email question if we want to stick on the same topic for a second.
Yes, ask the email, and then we will, and then I'll edit the recording so all the emails together. So, yeah, please, go ahead.
So, I don't know if this is just particularly to my way of working, but I suspect not. But I have certain groups where there are threads of emails, and I think I brought this up once before, but where, like, say it'll be my book club or the parents of one of my kids' classes, and there'll be a thread going on, and I don't want to lose the first email because, you know, say people are trying to decide on a day or they're discussing how to handle a certain thing, so I don't want to, in case somebody doesn't forward the thread, you know, so the final email, I might miss something that was said later if I delete them, and so I end up keeping this thread of emails, but I don't really have a box for it to go into. Because I don't eventually, like, when that thread is done, I don't really need to keep it. But I don't want to put it away somewhere and not have it in front of me either. So I try when it comes to a conclusion to go and delete all of the, you know, the emails in that thread, but sometimes that doesn't happen and they get stuck in my inbox. So wondering your thoughts about handling that kind of thing when there are these, you know, these threads that come up that are just needed for short periods of time.
So two things pop up. One is several of the email programs now stack the threads together.
Right.
When they're based on one subject. So it looks like it's taking up the space of one email, even though there might be 10, it might be 10 deep.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then the other one is One of the best friends that you have in your email inbox is the search function. So I would recommend getting really comfortable with searching, doing those queries.
Right.
So one thing that I actually didn't put in the lessons is, so I'm pretty brutal about hitting delete on emails, right? Because I just, you know, I'm just kind of thinking ahead 5 days, like, do I really want to see this again type of thing. So I got, no. So it gets deleted. There, and my server automatically deletes, like, deletes, gets rid of those emails, like, every, like, 30 days, right? And so there's never more than 30 days old in my delete folder. So there are a number of emails, and usually they're from friends or, you know, clients or nice notes or, you know, stuff that I actually want to keep. I don't want them to get sucked away in 30 days. And I don't need them, though, so I'm not going to leave them in my email inbox. So I have a folder that's literally called Archive. And it serves the same purpose as trash, except that they're never going to go away. And when I search, when I do my search function, it's just a folder, and so it will access those as well.
Right.
Because that was one of my questions, you know, when you were explaining the scenario, and you said, you know, I don't want it to be out of the way, and my first thought was, why not? Because if it's just like for future reference, well, I might want to figure that thing, you know, I might want to go back and reference that thing, then that to me is a search.
Okay.
If it's actionable, that's a different thing. That gets actually parked in the to-do manager as a pending. Schedule spring concert. You know, and then there's like 500 emails that go around actually the scheduling that spring concert. But you have that trigger each week. Has that been scheduled yet?
Mm-hmm.
And then, no, actually, I need to check that first email. Then you jump into the email inbox, and, you know, that's where the search function comes in. And there's
right.
that tie to the to-do manager, and it's, you know, maybe it's pending. You know, maybe you put it in pending because it's not something that you specifically are working on. You just need to know when that is so that you can get it in your calendar. So it's just like a pending to remind you, has that been scheduled yet? And maybe then, at that point, it's just an email. Hey, Joe, did that ever get scheduled? I need to put it in my calendar, kind of thing.
Yeah, I do use search quite a bit, but I like, you know, but I tend to leave them in my inbox. So I like the idea of using either archiving it or putting it pending, so that it's like, because I won't even tell you how many emails are in my inbox.
Fair enough.
I tend not to clear it out. I just sort of use it as a, like, okay, what's on top? And at some point, I probably should just archive everything that's in there and start fresh.
Yeah, and that's a good way, you know, it's a great way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can just stick the whole thing in archive, and then they're not necessarily gone. And if you find that you really need something, then, you know, you can find it.
Right.
Yeah. Getting, so part of that one lesson, which was the email and the action system. One of my suggestions is if you're going to use your inbox as sort of part of your action system, being clear about what that is for you, like which kinds of actionable items are allowed to stay in there.
Right.
And if you can't answer that, then it gets muddled. So then maybe maybe these are allowed to stay there. So for me, like, personal correspondence stuff is like the one thing that ends up staying in there. Because I don't know, for some reason I don't really like putting in my to-do manager, you know, respond to so-and-so when it's a personal kind of thing.
Right.
And so those are the ones that tend to stay in my inbox. So I'm clear about which ones are allowed to stay in there. When you start allowing a bunch of different kinds of things to stay in, then that's when it gets muddy. So rely a little bit more on your to-do manager, and you know, figure out, maybe self-observation, why are you needing to leave certain things in there, you know, when a search is going to pull it right up for you.
Right. Well, and what you just described, I mean, in some cases, it would take me four times longer to, like, put something in my to-do manager than to, like, say I need to respond, but I'm not sure, like, which day I'm going to pick something up. And it kind of depends on seeing what's going to happen with the rest of my schedule in a couple of days. And so I'll leave it there, because to put it in my to-do manager, like, make sure you get back to so-and-so is, like, it's going to take way too much time to bother doing that.
Right.
So it's a matter of thinking about how not to never use the email as a to-do manager, but to consider what's being left in there. It's sort of like those two-minute items, you know.
Yeah, and to have a little bit of a plan for when that stuff's going to happen. So that was one of the things as far as when I was talking about the scheduling thing and saying, okay, I'm still going to allow for X amount of time for dealing with those kinds of emails.
Right.
Because they are there. They do need to get dealt with. And just kind of sliding them in between things, you know, if that works, fine. To me, that ends up taking up an inordinate amount of time, right? So email is one of those things that it just starts seeping, and it just starts taking up more time and more energy, and then it just creeps. And just getting that contained, because it doesn't deserve that kind of presence in your life, really. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so get specific about what's getting left in there and what types of actions they are, and then you can ask, is there a better way to track those? Or is there a better way to handle those?
Right.
So hopefully that gives you some ideas for how to play with those. Okay, cool. All right, 5-minute break. Stretch, pee, drink water. Have a snack, and I'll be back here in 5.